tears for fear. And they're letting us know that everybody wants to rule the world. You heard Dr. Albert mention that the radical Muslims are really focused on trying to get land. And it's not land just for the purpose of having bragging rights. This is about ruling the world. And one of the things that you're letting us know, Dr. Albert, that we really need to be thinking about, we need to be concerned about, cybersecurity. And we understand that there are many players when it comes to the concern about cybersecurity, but two of the countries we hear about the most are Russia and China. And that said, let me ask you, do we need to be equally concerned about cybersecurity when it comes to what Russia can do, what China can do, or what radical Muslims can do, or we need to be 14-year-old
boy
more
in the apartment, you know, basement, like doing hacking. We need to be concerned about all of these equally, so they can each affect us in a different way, but catastrophically. You know, a member of a hacktivism group, an anarchist hacktivism group, can shut down a power grid just as easily as the Patriot hackers from Russia or the group of the cyber brigade working out of China. I mean, we know where they are, but they try to attack us daily. And any one of these, or, you know, a 14-year-old person in a basement that has this great technical skills with hacking can knock out a power grid. They can affect critical infrastructure systems, knock out dams if they want to. I'm not too concerned with Russia, Iran, North Korea, or China with these acts, because we have a deterrent factor against them. They have malware in our critical infrastructure systems, but we have malware in their critical infrastructure system. So it works as the same as, you know, in the height of the 80s, the Cold War, mutually assured destruction, MAD. We kind of have the same thing for cyber, where if you act, we're going to act. And the United States defense policy says that if you attack our critical infrastructures with cyber means, we reserve the right to attack you kinetically. So we'll drop bombs on you if you. So don't think you can wipe out our power system so we can't act with cyber, because we'll just act with traditional force at that point. So we try to have a double deterrent in that aspect. The problem we have to be more concerned about, I think, are cyber terrorists, you know, the cyber caliphate working with ISIS, or just, you know, radicalized individuals themselves, homegrown terrorists. You know, pretty soon we'll see homegrown cyber terrorists where this is different from, you know, cyber criminals or cyber mercenaries. These are individuals who are trying to terrorize us for political or social or economic means. So they will try to hurt large scale infrastructure or damage us or create fear somehow. That can be done through, you know, they can hack banking. You know, is this terrorism if an individual hacks a bank and shuts down our access to funds for a while? I mean, I would be pretty upset if I didn't have access to, you know, the $23 I have in my bank right now.
Like,
you know, if somebody hacked that, that's going to, you know, people don't think of that as terrorism. But if, you know, if a whole community gets hacked like that, or all the ATMs, for instance, get shut down for a period of time, I'd be panicking, especially, you know, the storm's coming over.
Yes,
we got to have some cash in case something happens. So I'm on my way to the bank right after this to get my $20 out. Make sure I have that just in case.
Can you let me have 10?
I know, right? Like, I work for the state. Man. I don't know, it's as much as I got. So, you know, it's a crazy world. And the best thing we can do is we are responsible as citizens to guard our what we call cyber hygiene. You know, you don't click. You did not win a lottery for $500 million where somebody's going to tell you over email, you know, and a Nigerian prince is not looking to help you out by giving you $1 billion. I've gotten that email like 30 times in my lifetime. You know, if it seems too good to be true and it's coming online or via text, it's not true. And somebody's looking it's called phishing, where they send out information. I hope you click on something, and then boom, they're in. They have all access to everything you do. So don't click on something you don't know, and look for, you know, emails that are spelled differently than you're used to. So this is how they usually act, especially cyber criminals, is they get access to email lists somehow, and they'll change some of the emails. So instead of, you know, CarlThornton@gmail, it'll be like CarlThornton. They'll put an L in there at Gmail. And then, you know, if I'll click the link you sent because I didn't see the L in your name. And that's it. They're very sophisticated with that. And they know most of us are checking email or something, you know, at 11 o'clock at night. We're tired. We're not paying attention to it. Mm-hmm. Boom, we click that. They have access to it. That's how Russia hacks. That's how ISIS hacks. That's how China hacks. That's how just criminals hack. Everybody's looking for that. So we always.
Isn't that how they got into Sony's system? Phishing?
I think it was through phishing. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was how they do it. The other thing they'll do is they'll just scatter. And we have a terrible rate, even in our government agencies here in the United States, of, you know, those thumb drives, those yes. disk drives. They'll scatter them places. Enemies will scatter them, have them infected already with malware. And believe it or not, people will find some of these thumb drives like outside their car, or for instance, and be like, oh, a thumb drive. And then they'll go home
just
laying on the ground. And then they'll go home and insert into their computer. You just got hacked. You just let them in. This is one of the largest ways we've been infiltrated as a government is through this, because people are just – I almost saw – it hit my mind the other day because I was at the office and I saw a random disk drive in one of the classrooms I was going into. And I was like, oh, I did the same thing. I was like, oh, a free disk drive. And I was like, wait. So it's natural for us to like, oh, you know, let's try this out or whatever. And, you know, no, that's terrible. So
I've had folks to email me offers – to give me thumb drives with my radio information on it, you know, so I could give them out. And I always delete that.
That's right. Just delete it. I don't even open that. My policy is I don't know you, I'm deleting the email. Because if it's important enough or you want me to come on TV and talk or something like that, you're going to call me up if I didn't respond.
Yes.
And if you don't, well, then it wasn't worth it, because I'm not going to risk my cybersecurity.
I agree.
I mean, so we all need to be responsible citizens, like just like we're going to guard our person. You know, we know, you know, you don't go into a dark alley by yourself, like, period, because there could be muggers there. We should think that the World Wide Web is the same way. Like, you don't go to places you're not familiar with. Don't click on things that you don't specifically know. Make sure that everything, if you're going to click on it, is for sure. Make sure you're protected. Make sure you have anti-malware, antivirus installed on your computer. Should get a virtual private network installed on your computer. Pay the, you know, $5 a month for Norton or whatever companies offer that. I'm not working for Norton. That's just the one I use. Everything you can, and guard yourself if you can. Make sure you have double
authentication
on your phone for your email, for all your bank passwords. Make sure someone just can't put a password in there. That's not safe. You need to have a password plus a fingerprint, two, you know, a dual way to secure yourself for every single thing. Change your passwords, you know, every 6 months, all your passwords. Don't use the same password for everything. Change each one so that if you do get hacked or your ID is stolen, you only have to go through the process at one bank or something like that, you know.
And they'll the programs will often walk us through how to develop a very, very secure password. But that said, what about these computer-generated passwords where, hey, this is the this is the company I go through for my website, or I do this, and they're offering, this is the bank, and they'll generate a password for me, and I just use the one they generate. Is that generally safe, or is it better to just take the time to generate our own secure password?
That's interesting. I don't know what cybersecurity experts say on that. I always do a random password generator, because the way cyber criminals hack is they target individuals and they try to hack you based on information that's readily disposed, that you readily dispose. So, I mean, one way they do it is just like a regular criminal that wants to break into your house. They'll go through your trash, store it on the side of the road, look for things. You know, they're looking for birthday cards, because then what? They find out your birthday by going through your trash. They know that somehow that birthday is probably in one of your passwords. And so then they'll try all this stuff so they can narrow it down some. And then they have computer devices and tools that help generate the rest of it if they have a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. So that's complicated. So, yeah, I would use a random generator password. But then you got to remember where that is and how to store that, which is a whole nother thing.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Alvin and I'll be right back. We're going to be giving you the conclusion. You don't want to miss it. Forward thinking. That's been part of the program, Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. from the beginning. We bring programming that is innovative and that